And so we're after the truth that is dispensed from the Word of God. And to just come to church just because it's something that you do and that's what something that people do, well, that's foolishness. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. That's foolishness. You're wasting your time. That's all you do. If that's what you do. Of course, I'm not saying that to you, but I'm saying that to people who listen to the CD afterwards, not to you. Or who listen to this on the internet. But we know, right? We know. Okay. Well, now that we set the stage, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. No, sorry, we'll get there later on. Romans chapter 10. We have to start at the right place. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. Romans 10 verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. The Amplified Bible says, I bear them witness that they have a certain zeal and enthusiasm for God, but it is not enlightened and according to correct and vital knowledge. They have zeal, but it's not according to correct and vital knowledge. Now, zeal is a good thing. And enthusiasm. But zeal and enthusiasm without correct and vital knowledge is a dangerous thing. Because it can destroy you. And it can mislead you and deceive you and get you off in the wrong direction. And you can miss the goal of your life. If you have zeal, but not according to vital and correct knowledge. Now, I tell you, there's some things here that we need to think about when it comes to knowledge. Knowledge is information. And what we need is information of the truth. Because it's that truth that sets us free. It's that truth that will lead us to live a life that is fulfilled. It is a life that accomplishes its goals. And not just an empty life or a wasted life, but it's a life that's full and rich and fulfilling. And I believe everybody wants to live that kind of a life. Well, it begins with truth. Now, people say, well, you know, I don't believe that way. I believe this way. Well, you can believe what you want. You have the freedom to believe whatever you want. But what's the point of believing things that are not true? What's the point of just setting off on your own set of beliefs, but it's not the truth, and in the end find out, well, I made a mistake, and all is gone now. It's all wasted, and my life was miserable. So what we're after is the truth. We're looking for truth. Because Jesus said, if you abide in my word, which means you spend a lot of time there, then you'll know the truth. And that truth will make you free. It is the truth that makes you free. Years ago, a young lady came to see me, and she had a life that was so filled with frustration. And just unhappy and frustrated. And I started, she told me a story. I said, all right, let me tell you a few things. She said, no. Don't teach me, just pray for me. Now, you see, that's where things go wrong. That's where things go wrong. It's when we refuse to receive teaching of the truth, prayer is not going to help you. but it's not going to help you. And even if God does a miracle for you, if you don't from that point on start walking in the truth, you walk right back into your old problem and frustration. Because it's the truth that sets us free. And so inside of us, really, there should be a strong drive for truth and a hunger for truth that will send us back over and over again, because that is what makes life successful. Now, there are different definitions of success. The world's definition of success is, well, the more stuff you have, the more successful you are. And unfortunately, some Christians have also fallen for that definition. But that's an empty definition. It's an empty definition. Success is to fulfill your life's purpose. That is what success is. Well, if you don't even know what it is, you can't even begin with it. And that information you get from the one who made you, your maker. I was thinking this morning, my father died when I was very young. I didn't really know him, my own father. But my mother remarried, and my stepfather was a godly man. And I've learned some good things from him. But he was not a perfect man. He was a good man, but he was not perfect. And there were some things that he could not teach me. There were some things that I had to go to the source of truth to find out for myself. And I believe the Word of God is the truth, because Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and life. And as I have watched people over the years, I found out that even simple people, uneducated people who in the eyes of the world didn't have much to offer, ended their lives with success and blessing. That even though in the eyes of the world they were not well qualified, they lived according to the principles of the Word of God and received blessing beyond their education and their skills and their ability. Simply because they had that simple fragment of knowledge, I better stick to what God says. And if I do that, then God will bless me. And I have some of those in my family that were uneducated people. Some of them were not even healthy. And I've lost track because we live so far from them. But the last time I checked, they were in their 90s, still married, still healthy, amen, and still happy. Yes. And we thought that they would die young, because my uncle had heart trouble all his life. And he's in his 90s and he's still there. Because we read in Proverbs that when we protect our hearts and fill it with truth, then it will be health even to our bones and our flesh. When we live according to the principles that we were supposed to live, then good things come to us, because God designed us to live good lives. Now, knowledge is information, zeal is inspiration. Now, we really need both. There's a lot of people with knowledge, but they have no zeal. And boy, they're difficult. You don't want to hang around one of those, because all they do with that knowledge is criticize people who do things. They criticize them. And those who have zeal just run off in any direction and they destroy themselves. But when we have both, we're off on a good start. And so we need both. Now, there are different kinds of knowledge. If you came to Bible school, you probably know that. And we talk about that. There are different kinds of knowledge. I just want to briefly touch on some of them just to help us. There is secondhand knowledge. You know, this one said this, and then number A said this, and number B said that. Heard from B or from A and said this, and then passed on to C. By the time it gets to you, it's distorted. You always have to find your information from the source. You can't go by what somebody else thinks. That's dangerous. You have to go to the source of truth or information and get your information there. Then you get accurate. We read this morning about accurate and vital knowledge. When you go to the source, you get accurate knowledge. Don't go by what people say. When you hear somebody say something, go check it out. Don't just believe it. Don't be gullible. Christians are sometimes the most gullible people on the face of the earth. It shouldn't be so. Come on now. We shouldn't be so. We should be smart enough to go and check things out and make sure we run with the truth and not just by what people think. There's also the I think so knowledge. That's even more dangerous. I think so. Well, what you think may not be right. You cannot go by what you think. You have to go by what is. And, when people tell you, well, I think so and I think so, well, you know, you're going to have some trouble getting some truth across. I think so knowledge is just comes out of your own reference that you have coming from your own little world that you live in. But there's much more available to us. And so I think so knowledge can set you off in the wrong place, off to a wrong start. I'm thinking of a good example in the Old Testament where was it Naaman who had leprosy. And he heard there was somebody in Israel who could cure him. And he went, and he was a very important man, very highly honored in his nation. And he went off to see the prophet, and the prophet wouldn't see him. The prophet sent the servant out and say, well, go tell him to go dip in the Jordan 7 times. Well, it offended him. He was not from Israel, so he was offended by the Jordan. He thought the waters were dirty. And he was a little offended because he was such a high official that the prophet didn't come out to see him. He just sent the servant out. He was offended by that. And so he said, well, no, I'm not. And he's angry. He's going back to his nation. And his servant said, well, you got nothing to lose. Why don't you try that? And he went and he received his healing because that is what God wanted for him to do. And then he said, I didn't want to do that because I thought the prophet would come and wave his hand over me. He expected some ritual there. And he said, but I thought so. Well, almost because of I think so knowledge, he lost his healing. I think so knowledge is a dangerous thing. Don't say I think so. It's better to say I believe so than think so. Because when you think so, you're not sure. And sometimes you have to be sure about some things. Now, knowledge is information, and we get our information by studying the Bible, the Word of God. Not just reading it casually, but studying it. And there's a lot of principles there, and spiritual laws, and all kinds of laws. And you know there are spiritual laws, there are economic laws, there are laws that govern our health in our bodies. And there are all kinds of laws. And when we want to live a life that is successful, we need to know those laws and live by them. We call them principles. We love to call them principles. There are some principles that govern financial health and wealth. There are some principles that will keep your body healthy if you live by them. If you break those laws, they will break you. And so that information is vital to us. Now, you can go by what everybody else says and think so knowledge and second-hand knowledge, what people tell you and what the culture dictates to you and all that kind of stuff. But in the end, what will get you, will make your life successful is knowledge of the truth. We are too quick to follow the culture because we don't want to be odd. Well, our desire should not be to be accepted by everybody out there, but to live a life that is successful and blessed. That will make you more acceptable than anything else, even if you're an oddball. People still people love to hang around successful people. They know it's just somebody that I would love to be around with because I can learn something there. Now, moving on from knowledge, I want to go to wisdom. Now, wisdom and knowledge are not the same thing. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge. It's the ability to apply knowledge to your advantage. Now, there's a lot of people who have knowledge, but they don't know how to use it. I always use the example of somebody that I met years ago when I worked in the bank. We had certain jobs that we reserved for senior people. People who also already retired, but they wanted to keep busy. We had certain jobs. Because we found out they were very monotonous jobs, very important. Checking data entries in the computer system was very boring, very monotonous. But we found that the senior people could concentrate well, much better than young people. And that worked very, very well for us. So, but one day a man called and he applied to one of those jobs. And in the interview, we found out that he was a professor in mathematics. And he wasn't that old yet. And so he told me that his life was a whole mess. He lost his wife, he lost his family. He had a beautiful farm, and he told me how he built a house himself, just a beautiful place, but he lost it all. He lost it all. And I'm thinking, you know, here's a professor and in mathematics. I mean, you know, there's a lot of logic and so on in mathematics. Here's a man that can think, but he obviously has a lot of knowledge and all of that, but he did not know how to use that knowledge that he had to live a good life. And he was in his 50s and he lost everything. He had nothing. You see, wisdom will help us to use the knowledge that we have to our advantage. And to apply it in such a way that we can get some benefit out of it. It doesn't help to have your head filled with knowledge, but you don't know how to use it. Wisdom is that ability that will take you to that place where you can apply that knowledge so that you can reap some benefit from it. Now, let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And verse 13. It says, happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. Wisdom will give all of that to you, and much more. And I'm thinking of Solomon, who wrote Proverbs. When he received the kingdom from his father, King David, the Lord gave him an option to ask something from him. And he could ask for anything. But he said, Lord, give me wisdom so that I can reign over this nation well. Give me wisdom. And the Lord said, because you ask wisdom and not wealth, I'll give you wisdom and wealth and honor and everything else. See, wisdom will, the proceeds of wisdom are better than the profits of silver and their gain than fine gold. Verse 15, she is more precious than rubies, and all the things that you may desire cannot compare with her. Wisdom. In another place it says, we will just get there in a few minutes. But it says, wisdom is the principal thing. It's the number one thing, wisdom. It's the number one thing. Of all the things that you should be after, wisdom should be the first one. Verse 16, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Coming from wisdom. Length of days. I saw on the cover of the Maclean's magazine that they now have a pill, or they think they have a pill, that can, if you take it, I didn't read the article, you can live up to 125 years. There's a pill for everything. The best pill is the gospel. Wisdom will lengthen your days. Wisdom, God's wisdom, will lengthen your days. And in the right hand, in the left hand, in the right hand are the length of days, and in the left hand, riches and honor. Now, that's something that everybody desires. I don't know a single person who wants to be poor and dishonored. These are things that we all desire. Verse 17, her ways are ways of pleasantness. And all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. See, only good things come from that wisdom. That ability to use truth to your advantage. Nothing bad comes from it, only good comes from it. Now, all these first few chapters talk about wisdom, so there's so much coming from it. But let's skip to chapter 4. Verse 1, hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. Give attention to no understanding. And see, that's why we come to churches. We are giving attention to no understanding. It doesn't help to sit here just because you think it's the right thing to do. No, you have to come because you want to gain some understanding. That's the right reason why we come to church. Verse 2, for I give you good doctrine. Now, doctrine is teaching. Teaching is sharing information. For I give you good doctrine, do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Keep them. Do you know this is a promise for children? That if they obey their parents, they have a long life. And that's what he's talking about. If you obey your parents, don't rebel. You're a fool if you do that. Because you are rebelling against somebody who's been around the block a few times, who has seen that movie a couple of times. You rebel against that, you're a fool. If your kids are not here, take the CD home. Verse 5, get wisdom. He's shouting that. Can you see that in your Bible? There's an exclamation mark there. Get wisdom. Get understanding. He's shouting. He wants to be heard. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. What a wonderful thing. Wisdom will preserve you. When things get tough, wisdom will preserve you. Help you to make good choices. Help you not to just go off on your I thought so ways. But make a good decision. Think about things. And base your decision on the laws and the principles of the Lord. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding. In all your getting, get understanding. There's a lot of getting going on, but it's not getting of understanding. There's a lot of things that people are after and spend their lives and energy and days on to get things, but not necessarily to get understanding. Do you know that 1 hour's work in wisdom can do more than a lifetime in your own wisdom and in your own understanding? It can save you a lot of grief and save you a lot of detours that you can make when you are faced with all kinds of options. Then you can go this way or that way or that way. And the Bible is like a GPS system that keeps you right on track. It shows you where to go so you won't waste your time by taking off the wrong exit and going into the wrong direction. Verse 8, exalt her, that's wisdom, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction or teaching. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Now, there's a lot more that we can learn from Proverbs, but I want to move on and talking about... let's go one more in Proverbs chapter 13. We were there this morning, verse 20. He who walks with wise men will be wise. Now, this helps us to find out where to get wisdom. There's a place in the New Testament, in the book of James, where we read that if we ask wisdom from God, He'll give it to us without regret. He will just give it to us. Liberally. He will just give it to us. So that's one thing that we do. You know, we pray for a lot of things, but seeing that wisdom is the principal thing, that's something we should be praying for more than anything else. And sometimes we think we need money, but what we really need is wisdom. Sometimes we think I need this or I need that, but what I really need is wisdom. Because wisdom will take me to what I need and will solve the issues that I'm dealing with. If I could just have that wisdom from God. God knows the answer to every need that you have. Every problem, He knows the way out of it. And if we would just go to Him and get wisdom from Him, we'll find the shortcut out of it and save ourselves years of trouble and grief and misery. And then the second thing, as we read here in verse 20, he who walks with wise men will be wise. Now make sure that the people that you go with are wise people. Don't go with fools. It says the companion of fools will be destroyed. You become like the people that you hang with. And so if you want wisdom and you pray for wisdom, God might just hook you up with a wise person. Somebody you can walk with, somebody that you can bounce off against your ideas and learn some things, check his ways, see how he does things and so on, and learn from him. That's another thing, another way to get wisdom, is walk with wise people. You know, I know we keep on saying that, and you may be tired already of hearing that, but the proverb says, look there in chapter 12, verse 26. We're on that page if you're on the same Bible that I have. Proverbs 12, 26. The righteous should choose his friends carefully. For the way of the wicked leads them astray. So we have to choose the people that we run with carefully. Don't just go with anybody. Be kind to yourself. Go with people who make it in life. Run with people who know where they're going. But don't go with fools who always get in trouble or always miss the mark. Go with the ones that want to accomplish something in life. Spend time with them. Make friends with them and run with them. Okay. Now, the third thing I want to touch on this morning is understanding. Now, I believe, or it seems to me, that understanding comes when you combine knowledge with wisdom. Then you get understanding. Understanding is a big thing. To understand things. To understand where we're going, to understand how to handle this problem or this situation. The understanding is what really brings the breakthrough. It's the understanding that brings the fruitfulness. You'll see that in a moment. It's the understanding. So we need to spend some time on the understanding, and we'll see that we need to spend some time to gain that understanding. You have to meditate on things. Think about it. Think about things. Bring that truth up into your head. Begin to roll it over. We spent about meditation a few weeks. Roll it over in your mind and just keep it there alive. Think about it. Think about it. And then wisdom will shed light on it and bring understanding. It's the understanding that brings the fruit that we're after. Okay. So let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And it's about the parable of the sower. And we know that the parable of the sower, the seed that he's talking about, is the word of God. Jesus says so. Matthew chapter 13 says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. So the understanding will protect that truth from being snatched away by the wicked one. Now, don't be offended at me now, but I have seen through the years that I have been in ministry that people sometimes, for some reason, they become distracted or they make a light decision about the Word of God or attending a specific service or an event or whatever, by just making a light decision, miss something that could change their entire life. I've seen that. I've also seen that we talk about something and somebody dozes off, or they're thinking of lunch after church or something else. Their mind is not with you. And that same week, they'll come to you and ask you questions about the very thing we spoke about on Sunday. The devil came and snatched it from them because they did not pay attention. We showed a video here last Sunday evening, and we saw the same video previous Sunday evening, two Sunday evenings in a row. And it was a video on renewing of the mind. And we said so the Sunday morning. Everybody should have been here, I'm telling you. You have no idea what you've missed. You have no idea what you missed. I'm telling you. That knowledge could change your life. It was an opportunity to receive so much substance that it could change your entire life. I don't know, you know, if you were not here, don't feel offended or guilty. But I'm just telling you, sometimes we make just a decision based on some other things, I don't know what, and miss something that could change our entire life or could add understanding to us and revelation, revolutionize our lives. But we fail to understand. Okay, you still okay with me?
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, when the Word of God comes to us, we need to understand it's not the Word of a man. It's not about attending or not attending a service. It's about missing truth. It's about missing truth. Vital and correct truth that we miss. Now, if you were me, you could say amen on that one. But that was just me. Now, look at verse 23. That's where I want to go. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. That's good ground. You have to hear the word first and then understand it. But if you don't even hear it, you'll never understand. You'll never understand. You have to be where you hear it. I believe because I'm always at church and I'm always looking for things, and I receive a lot because I put the effort into getting it. Even before we were in ministry and before I did most of the preaching, we never missed a service. I'll be honest with you. And I'm not trying to put myself on a pedestal or anything, but we never missed a service. And I worked late sometimes. I sometimes worked overtime. I came from the bank to the church. Had dinner afterwards. But I did not miss my service because I needed to be there. I need it because I didn't want to miss. Maybe something would come to me that day that I could not live without. That's why I went. That's why I went. And I grew up in church. I'll be honest with you. If my mother told me you were born in church, I would believe her. Because we were always there. I grew up there. And I've seen a lot through the years. But one thing I know is this. Missing hearing the word of God is never a good thing. Okay, verse 23 again. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces. Now, we all want to produce a good life for ourselves. We all want to produce a good life for ourselves. And you can choose to do it your own way with your I think so knowledge and do what you want to do. You're free to believe what you want. But if you hear the truth and you receive that truth and you put understanding into it, you spend some time to understand it, then that leads to producing the fruit that you're after. But it begins with hearing the truth. And then it moves on to understanding. And it's the understanding that produces. You know, when I read this a couple of years ago, I said, wait a minute. There is something here that I need to think about. Because I grew up in a religion and I believed, or I was taught, that for everything you need, you pray. But this verse changed that thinking. Says, wait a minute. If there's something that I need to produce, I need to get the truth concerning that need, understand it, and then I produce it. Is that what you read there?
Yes.
And I figured out, you know, there's a lot of things we pray for that we should not pray for. What you do to get it is you get the truth concerning that need or that situation. Then you meditate on it. Put your faith into it. and then it will produce what you need. I'm in the wrong church today. He who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. But I become a producer. I'm a producer. And you are a producer. And it begins with correct and vital truth. A knowledge. And it comes by adding the principal thing to it, that's wisdom. That comes from God, the ability to use that knowledge to your advantage. And that will produce for you. That will produce for you. That will make your life productive. I'm a producer. I always find it hard to ask for things. And there's something we need to ask, I always send my wife. I say, will you ask? She submits. But it's hard. I just find it so hard to ask for things. Because I always try to produce it. Sometimes you need to be humble a little more and ask when you need to ask. But I believe that there is too much asking and not enough producing going on in the church. We produce things by faith. In the truth. And we believe what God says. It's truth. It's that vital and accurate knowledge that God imparts to us. It's that seed that we plant in your heart that produces the answer to my need. And that's why I always like to listen to preaching with substance. And I don't want to criticize anybody. And I do the best I can to bring some substance into my preaching. But I get bored very quickly when I just heard to somebody just bringing a grade one Sunday school lesson. You know, I don't feel attracted to that. Because I want that meat of the fruit, of the word. Yes. That strong meat that can put me over on a difficult day. I can hold onto it and it gives me strength and foundation under my feet that will help me to move on.
That's right.
I don't want to, when a day gets tough, I don't want to stand on a sandy foundation. I want to stand on a strong foundation.
Amen.
And when everything looks like it's crumbling all around me, I don't want to crumble with it.
That's right.
I want to have something to hold on to. That even if I don't know why I'm holding on, I'm just holding on because that's all I know.
That's right. Yes. Hallelujah.
I found out when we see a lot of options before us, you are just setting yourself up for deception.
Yes, that's right.
You'll probably choose the wrong one. But if there's only one thing you can do, well, there's nothing else. You have to go for it. I'm having a little fun here, if you forgive me. Understanding produces fruit. Now let's do one more scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And verse 20. First Corinthians 14 and verse 20. Brethren, that includes sisters, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. The Amplified Bible says, brethren, do not be children immature in your thinking. Continue to be babes in matters of evil, but in your minds be mature men. There's a lot of people today who are mature in evil things. They know all about everything they shouldn't know about. They know all about everything that is carnal and worldly and even evil. They know all about it. But they know nothing about the truth. And here comes good advice from the Apostle Paul. And he says, do not be children, immature in your thinking. Now, we touched on three words today. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And all of those have to do with thoughts. Thoughts. What you think on. What you think on. The thoughts that you think on, that's who you are. If you think evil thoughts, if you think carnal thoughts, your life will be carnal. If you think I want to produce, and I'm here to produce things, you'll be busy. You'll be busy looking for something to do. It all depends on what kind of thoughts you allow to dominate your thinking. Because as you think in your heart, so you will be. Your life and everything about your life is an image of your mind. It's a visible image of what you think on. Come on now. You cannot change your life if you don't change the way you think. You change your life by changing your thinking. Now, for some reason, we like the knowledge we have. A lot of people love teaching, learning things. We love the knowledge we have. And we want a better life, but we don't want to increase our knowledge. We just want a better life. Well, no, it's not going to happen that way. It's not going to happen. You change your life by changing your thinking. And you can change everything by changing the way you think. And so, changing your thinking begins with vital and correct knowledge. Vital means life-giving knowledge. Knowledge that you cannot go without. Vital knowledge and correct knowledge, accurate knowledge. That's where you begin by changing your thinking. It's by putting accurate knowledge into your mind, meditating on it, asking God to shed some light on it, to connect the dots. And that brings understanding that will lead to fruitfulness. May God give us revelation. Boy, I tell you, we need to go up to the next level. There's a lot more we can say about it. I know we're running out of time. But there is knowledge when it comes from God that will propel you up to a higher level where we need to go, where we need to produce more than we can because of His presence and His knowledge and His anointing upon us. And we are equipped for that. And we should never be satisfied with the level where we are. You cannot rise above the level of your thinking. So if you want to go up to the next level, you have to think on the next level. You have to increase your capacity for truth. And go to that place where God can really release all your potential that's locked up inside. But boy, it begins with changing your thinking and renewing your mind. Brethren, do not be children immature in your thinking. Continue to be babes in matters of evil. But in your minds, be mature. Be mature men. Be mature. Be responsible. Become a producer. See yourself as responsible for the product of your life. I am responsible for me, and I need to change my thinking because I want to produce more. I want a life that's productive and fulfilled and to the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word that you've given us. There is so much locked up, so much hidden to our eyes, our natural eyes. But we thank you for the Holy Spirit who comes to open up our spiritual eyes and give us spiritual understanding so that we may know what you have freely given to us and walk in all that you have set aside for us. And live up to that place where you desire for us to be. And live this one life that you've given us to its fullest. And may your name be glorified through our lives. And I pray, Lord, this morning that we'll think about this and take responsibility for our own lives and realize that we have a lot to do to increase the quality of our lives. Give us revelation knowledge. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.